you brought to birth. This is what the Lord says, the Holy One of Israel and its Maker. Concerning things to come, do you question me about my children or give me orders about the work of my hands? If you were a piece of pottery, and you're going to have to use your imagination here just a little bit, would you be this nice piece, the best I could find, perfect, all together, doing everything just right? Or would you be more like this? This cracked, broken, blemished pot, and hoping that people really don't see what you are like. Well, I'm very thankful that God uses cracked pots. You know, I think there's a misconception among many people that the people of the Bible were people that had it all together. That they just did everything right and they had no problems. Really? You know that Noah had a drinking problem. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer with ADD. Jacob was a liar. Leah was homely looking. Joseph was so snotty that his brother sold him. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Micah preached naked. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a poor widow. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep praying. Martha worried about everything. A promiscuous woman anointed Jesus. A Samaritan woman was divorced multiple times. Zacchaeus was a midget. Paul was legalistic and persecuted the church. Timothy had an ulcer. And Lazarus was dead. And God used every one of them. Isn't that amazing? Every one of those God used. God uses cracked pots. He used a very cracked vessel in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, the Apostle Paul. And we hear these words, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. And that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in persecutions, I delight in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I'm strong. So let me ask you here this morning, how do you respond to the cracks, the blemishes, and the hurts in your life? Because in reality, all of us are like this in some way, shape, or form. Some of us have past abuse, immorality, drugs, alcoholism, stealing, lying, and more. Now, in order to deal with those things in our lives as a cracked pot, there's a lot of different responses that people have. Some people try to ignore them, hide them, and cover them up. Nobody is going to know what I'm like. So we try to hide the past. We try to cover it up. We deny it. We're not honest with God, ourselves, or others. Isn't that a nice look? When we cover up those blemishes. The reality is they're still there. The flaws, the hurts, the failures continue to be there. For others, pride keeps us from being honest about ourselves. I'm okay, you're okay, everybody's okay. And we deny the reality that we have issues in our lives because we don't want. And you know what I always think would be the coolest thing? On Sunday morning, we pick one person, and nobody knows who it is. And we all gather together, and then we have a short video of your life. All those secret things in your life. Now, a lot of you are smiling and chuckling because, man, I would never come to church. Because, isn't that right? But we still have them. And our pride keeps us from dealing with those, or we try to cover them up. But the reality is, Jesus knows about every one of those things. You can hide it from the preacher, you can hide it from the elders, you can hide it from your spouse. But Jesus knows those things. And unfortunately, there are others who become so aware of the cracks and blemishes in their lives that they become discouraged. They become depressed, and some even become suicidal. I live in Williamsburg, past Myers on off of Lautner Road and Bunker Hill Road. And when I leave here, we drive there. There's always this billboard about suicide and the epidemic that it is becoming in this area. And the reality is that when we truly see ourselves as this, some people, because they have no hope, become discouraged, become depressed, and unfortunately become suicidal. Well, I want to remind you this morning that Jesus loves and specializes in cracked pots. In Matthew 11:28, he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Jesus would rather you come to him with every need, every failure, every concern, every problem. It's not like you're going to hide it from him. Our greatest need is simply to come to him who is able to help us. True peace, true rest, true hope and healing can only come through the grace and power of Jesus. Maybe you deal with people that are struggling in their lives with things. I mean, what can you personally do for them, ultimately, to fix and correct these? You can't do anything except help direct them to one who can make a difference in their lives. And I'll never forget, a number of years ago, I was at Rock Lake Christian Assembly with a group of college students, and one of the girls that was not a Christian, but her roommate had become a Christian, and we had an invitation, and much to my shock and everybody's shock, she came forward and gave her life to Christ. Well, you know, she just gave her life to Christ. The lake's right here. Let's go baptize her. And we walked out. It was dark. It was 10 o'clock at night. We went into Rock Lake, and we walked out about 5 feet, I began to say a few things, and she says, "John, here, take this." I thought she was giving me money. Nobody had ever given me money to baptize them. I was so excited. And I opened my hand, and there was speed and cocaine. What are you going to say to her? Listen, I was not a guy who had drugs. I mean, if I took an aspirin, that was it. In high school, I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, I didn't chew, I didn't go with girls that did. And now this college girl is handing me speed and cocaine. And I said to her, "Linda, I don't know anything about this. All I know is that Jesus can make a difference in your life." We threw it in the water, and we moved away about 5 feet. And I baptized her into Jesus Christ. The next morning, she came to me and she said, "John, I've got the shakes. What do I do?" What are you going to tell her? I'm not a drug counselor. I said, "Linda, I don't know. All I know is that Jesus can make a difference in your life and you need to cry out to him." That girl not only kicked those drugs, but she also began to lead other people to Christ because she saw the power and the ability of Jesus to change and affect her life. "Come to me, all you who are weary." In Matthew 9:13, when criticized with associating with sinful people, Jesus responded, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." Jesus is not overwhelmed with your issues. Now, I could be overwhelmed with your issues. My wife is overwhelmed with my issues. But Jesus is never overwhelmed with your issues. I was looking at a house a few years ago, and I opened a door which I thought was a closet. And I took a step, and I didn't realize it was a stairway that led into about a 5-foot-deep basement. And I landed on my face down those stairs, and I ripped my lip wide open. It was gruesome. Now, I have 5 boys who played hockey. I know a little bit about cuts and broken bones and things like that. But, I mean, but I was a grown man, a handsome grown man, with a lip that was just ripped to shreds. And we went into the emergency room, and I remember the doctor saying, "Oh, not a big deal. I can handle that. I do it all the time." I was overwhelmed. But this surgeon, he was not overwhelmed. And as you can see, he did a phenomenal job on what he did. In the same way, you will not surprise, shock, or overwhelm Jesus with the issues that you have in your life. And that is why Paul said, as we read a little bit earlier, Paul, a very flawed man, reminds us that his power, Jesus' power in you, his power is made perfect in weakness. It is literally through your problems, your needs, that God is able to show his grace and power. Every one of us in this room, if we're honest with ourselves, is a cracked pot. And it is through those cracks and blemishes that Jesus shows most clearly. Let me illustrate it this way. When you give your life to Christ, he doesn't say, "Clean up your life and follow me." He said, "If you follow me, I will work in and through your life." And something amazing happens when you surrender your life to Christ. When you surrender your life to Jesus, he does 3 amazing things. One, he forgives you of these things. Secondly, he fills you with his Holy Spirit. The very power that raised Jesus from the dead. Now, this, I think we don't grasp the significance of this. And, you know, we're coming upon Easter and we're going to talk about the resurrection. The very power that raised Jesus from the dead, if you're a believer, a follower of Jesus, a disciple, it now lives, his Holy Spirit, that same power lives in you. And he is willing and able to use you as a cracked pot. So when you give your life to Christ, and then the Holy Spirit comes into your life, and for some of you it's more difficult than others, something amazing happens. Where do the cracks and blemishes show? Or where does the Holy Spirit show? It's through the weaknesses of our life. When he dominates us and he begins to change us, his grace, his love, his mercy shines most powerfully through those old cracks and blemishes in our life. That's why Paul says, his power is made perfect in my weakness. So let me ask you this morning, how do you respond to the cracks and blemishes in your own life? Let me suggest 3 things. One, be honest with yourself, with God, and with others. And I think that progression is most important. That one, we'd be honest with ourselves first. Come on. You've been playing games for years. I got a problem. I got a struggle. I got an issue. I got a crack. I got a blemish in my life. Take that to God. Be honest with God. You know, you're not going to surprise Him when you tell Him, you know, I really struggle with lust. Or I really struggle with this issue. You're not going to surprise Him. He already knows it. But you know, the Scripture also talks about this is how we love one another. Is that we can be honest with others. And I'll be honest with you. I don't like to let people know the issues and struggles in my life because I don't know how they're going to respond to me. And I think that's why a lot of people are afraid to come to church. Because they feel they're going to be judged. In fact, one of the characteristic marks of a disciple of Jesus Christ is the world will know that we are disciples by the love we have for one another. And a part of that love for one another is to be willing not only to accept one another with those flaws, but also to encourage and to help and to challenge one another with those flaws. Be honest with yourself, with God and with others. 1 Peter 5 says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. And I love this. Cast your cares, cast your anxieties upon Him. Secondly, accept His grace for you. 1 Corinthians 5:10, Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace to me was not without effect. See, Paul, you know the story of Paul. Paul persecuted Christians. He had Christians murdered. Now, those are some big holes and flaws in a cracked pot. And yet, when he accepted the grace and mercy of God, it so changed and transformed his life that the very man that persecuted the church became one of the greatest preachers of the Church of Jesus Christ. And in our life, God's grace is available. It's free as we humble ourselves and are honest with ourselves. And then, probably most significantly, we need to depend daily upon Jesus in our life. In Galatians 2:22, we read, I have been crucified with Christ. Remember what happened? When you gave your life to Christ, the old nature, that sinful nature that caused this, was crucified, was buried and raised to newness of life. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Daily, we can depend upon the grace He provides. How does a mom who loses a child cope with that? Well, for you and I, that we look from afar and that's a horrific thing. But I believe that God gives that mom an extra measure of grace to deal with that hurt and that loss. How does a man deal with losing his job and his concerns and worries and fears? And we look from afar and say, oh my, that's terrible. But I believe that God gives that man extra grace to deal with those battles because His grace is sufficient for you. And that is why we must depend daily upon Him. You and I cannot live this life alone. We need His grace daily, and He offers it to us. If you know and have experienced the love and power of Jesus in your life through the cracks and blemishes in your life, will you simply thank Him by living your life for Him? But if you don't know this love and power, why not accept it this morning? Because Jesus specializes in cracked pots. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the grace that You offer us. Thank You for the mercy that You have shown. Thank you that you are not overwhelmed with our struggles and battles, and that you are more than capable of helping us as we would surrender all to you. Father, I pray for that man or that woman here this morning who is truly struggling with the reality of the failures, the sin, maybe even just the horribleness of some things that are in their life. Lord, I pray that they would see through your scriptures here this morning that you are not overwhelmed by that. And that is exactly the reason you came. And may they have the courage to surrender those areas to you, asking your forgiveness and asking you to come in and control their lives. Father, I thank you that we have this hope. We have this message, and we have this reality in our own lives that we can share with others. And I pray in Jesus Christ's name, amen.